kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, the Lord has brought us again today to hear his word, and I trust that you will be blessed and the Lord will speak into your life and heart. I have a title for our teaching today, and we're calling this, God is My Portion. God is My Portion. And I want to take this today from Psalm 16 and verse 5. Psalm 16 verse 5, God is my portion. And it says here, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. And it's also interesting that the psalmist, David, he echoes the same cry to God in Psalm 142 and verse 5. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion to the land of the living. Attend to my cry. So here we have two references to God being our portion. So what is the psalmist referring to? What does the Bible mean that God is my portion? At times, the word portion can be translated slightly differently, because it can be translated also as our inheritance or your allotment in this life to me. In other words, he is our all-sufficient. He is our sufficient one. He is all that we ever could need. There's nothing else I need if I'm truly born again of the Spirit. He provides for all my needs, my blessings. He is my inheritance. God is my portion. Now, this should be something that the believer should be experiencing. We all, of course, are believing for things. We are standing on the promises of God's word. We're waiting for the manifestations of those things that we have asked for in faith. But God should still be my portion. Everything that I find each day as I walk with God, he should be my all-sufficient one. Whether I go through trials and tribulations or whatever it would be, God will provide for me for this day. We don't look to tomorrow or next year or next week. That is left with God. But God is my portion, and he has provided, and he will provide for this day, whatever the needs are. And of course, those needs are becoming more and more great, aren't they? As life in the natural is becoming difficult, as the cost of living is going up all the time. But that is no problem for the overcomer, or it shouldn't be. These should be the experiences, as the psalmist has said here, both in Psalm 16 and Psalm 142. So the idea of this portion, God is my portion, he is, in other words, my inheritance. He has allotted for me in this life all that I need. I don't have to beg, plead, or borrow. He has provided for all my needs in this life. That should be our experience. Even though it might be delayed, which often it is. We know in our walk of faith that God never manifests in the time that we want it. The manifestation of our faith, our prayers, comes in God's time. He is sovereign and he's never late, he's never early, he's always bang on time for all your needs in this life. Now don't get your mind into that, don't get your emotions into that, because we can all raise questions where God has been late in my life, or God didn't do what I thought he would do, or he didn't answer my prayers. We have to grow up from that. We have to stop making excuses with that. God never gets it wrong. What he's wanting from us is that God is my portion, and we believe for that portion that he has given us. And God is generous. Our Father is giving. That is his nature, his heart. We just get it wrong at times when we try to understand. What does it say in Psalm 73 with regard to God is my portion? Psalm 73 and verse 26. Psalm 73 and verse 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength or portion of my heart, and my portion forever. So God has provided, even in trials, in testings of faith, when there are times when we feel our heart has failed, there is nothing left, there is no strength in me, yet God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Here we get again this idea that God is my portion. And if you're still not convinced, let's turn to the book of Lamentations. To the book of Lamentations. Let's get there. After Jeremiah. Right, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. So here, the writer has an experience that God has allotted a portion in this life for him, and he says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. In other words, his heart, his experience, his body, everything about him knows that God is my portion. He knows it in the heart. He knows it by faith. Therefore, I hope, or I have faith in him. He's come to that place to know that God is my portion. He will not fail me. He will not let me down. He's allotted it. It's part of my inheritance that I have in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you have to enter into this to experience this. Let these words in these pages become life to you. Let it become your experience and not just something that you read. This is so important, and this is what the writer is saying here. My soul, my body, my flesh knows that God is my portion. That's what he's really saying here. Now, it's interesting in the Old Testament, we're looking at this idea of God is our portion. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy. First, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 9. We see that God, he allotted to the children of Israel, to each tribe, he allotted a portion or an allotment. It was land to possess. And if we look at this in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 9, it says that therefore Levi has no portion nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God promised him. So all the tribes of Israel, they had an allotment of a piece of land that was given to them, but not, of course, the Levitical, which of course was the Levitical priesthood. Their inheritance, of course, was God himself. Let's turn also to Numbers, the book of Numbers. Numbers 26, verses 52 to 56. And here we see God giving them their inheritance, their portion, in other words. Numbers 26, let's take it up from verse 52. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, to those the land shall be divided as an inheritance according to the number of names. To a large tribe you shall give a large inheritance, and to a small tribe you shall give a smaller inheritance. Each shall be given its inheritance according to those who were numbered of them. But the land shall be divided by lot, and they shall inherit according to the names of the tribes of their fathers. According to the lot, their inheritance shall be divided between the larger and the smaller. So here we see the children of Israel going in to possess their inheritance after their wilderness experience. They have been given land according to the size of the tribe. So we see that God is practical. He doesn't overindulge. He gives what is needed. Now, of course, we can glean from that. We know that it says that to seek first the kingdom of God is righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So when we seek the kingdom, we get our portion, our allotment. And God will provide for what you need, not always what you want. What you want can be an added extra bonus, and God can do that. It's called the desires of your heart. But God provides for our everyday needs as we seek the kingdom. That's the principle of it. And the same is working here with the children of Israel. What did God say to Joshua as he led that new generation into the promised land? The book of Joshua, Joshua 14 and verses 1 to 5. Joshua 14 and verses 1 to 5. We're looking at God is my portion. Hear what he says here in Joshua 14 verse 1. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of my tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the nine tribes and the half tribe. And Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half tribe of the other side of the Jordan, but to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they gave no part to the Levites in the land except the cities to dwell in, and with their common lands for their livestock and their property. And the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. There they are, receiving their portion from Almighty God. You can only receive your portion from Almighty God when you know what is in the Word of God. See, God is not going to give if you don't know what is there. This is why we teach you the Word of God. And this is why you need to get into the Word of God, so that you know these promises. You know what is your portion. You know what is allotted, is given to you. That includes wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. This is what we are to possess in this life, not just in glory. That's all to come, even infinitely more. But we're to press in for that spiritual promised land now in this life. The church has failed to possess the land. The same as Israel rebelled. She didn't go in and possess the land. And even under Joshua, the new generation that was raised up, they didn't possess all of the land. They still allowed the giants in the land to exist, the enemy. They didn't root the whole enemy out. And we look at the church today. Is the church rising up in spiritual warfare, cleansing that spiritual land? No, they're making the same mistake again. But the overcomers won't. This royal priesthood, this Levitical priesthood, because their portion was God. That was their inheritance. There's a type of overcomer in the old covenant. And here it is today, under the new covenant, under the blessings of what Christ has given to us, the royal priesthood, a type of Levitical. What is our inheritance? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's our sufficiency in this life. That is what we're inheriting. Can't you see that principle running through, right, the Word of God from the old to the new? But not all have that. Not all hunger for that. That is why I've said that God is my portion. If you're always looking to things in the world and you're wanting things all the time, you're failing to see that God is your portion. Because when he's your portion, he's going to give you everything you need in this life. You don't even have to ask for it or get into warfare and ask people for prayer. You know, I need this and I need that. Will you stand with me in prayer? Of course that has a place, don't get me wrong, but brothers and sisters, we grow up from that. Why? Because God is my portion. What more do I need when Almighty God is my portion? I have everything and more. That's why he says, out of you will flow these rivers of living water. This abundance that others can share and partake of, because God is my portion. I am mightily blessed. That's what we're entering into. That's the promised land, spiritually, that the church must enter into before the Lord Jesus Christ comes for her. And the overcomers are going to do this. The wise virgins are going to do this. They are seeing this. This is the deeper life teaching, brothers and sisters. Most in contemporary church are waiting for all their blessings when they get into glory. failing to see that God is our portion and that he will provide in this life. That's why we teach faith, an end time message of faith and the deeper life, for that very purpose, so that you can receive all of this. Yes, even in this life. Because who's the one that robs us and steals from us? It's the enemy. He'll tell you you're not worthy of it. He'll tell you your life isn't as it should be. Or you didn't have a very good week. You didn't overcome very well, did you? Yes, well, we know what to do. We repent. We get it under the blood of the Lamb. But it doesn't change what God says in his word. That is the point. Who are you listening to? And so under Joshua, we see the land was their inheritance. And this was passed on from one generation to the next. And as I said, with Levi, God himself was to be their inheritance to the people. Because they ministered to the people. They were the priesthood. And that is what you do spiritually now. You are a royal priesthood. And your portion given to you in this life is God himself and all his promises to keep you whole in mind, body and spirit, to keep you from the evil one, from the enemy. That is what he's promised. Now we know in the New Testament that we've been grafted into God's family. We've been adopted as sons and daughters of God. So the blessings that were on Israel have gone over to the church age. They haven't changed. The principles of them haven't changed. You know, many times the enemy tries to tell you that was for Israel. It's not for today. It's not for you. It is. We're grafted in, which means we're grafted into the vine. So we're grafted in, and these blessings are passed on to the Gentiles. It is the church age at the moment. Until the last Gentile is saved, then it says God will turn again to his ancient people and redeem them and bring them back. But at the moment, God is my portion. And we can confidently say, even in the Old Testament, we can stand on those promises as well, because they don't change. What does it say in the Gospel of John? John chapter 1 and verse 12. He's adopted us as sons and daughters of God. We're part of God's family, grafted in. And what does he say here? But as many as received him, that's Christ, to them he gave the right to become sons of God. It's children, it should be sons of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So flesh has nothing to do with this. It is God's mercy and grace that he makes us a new creation. And you have been predestined and been called to become sons, daughters of God. Not just children. Children have to grow up. You would be very concerned as a mother or father if your child wasn't developing and growing up, maturing. You would be very concerned. Well, why is it we're not concerned about it in the house of God? That there are so many Christians who are so immature, so childish, don't want to grow up. God is after sons, daughters. And that's the work he's doing now. Because they are the ones who will enter in and receive their portion, their inheritance in this life. You see, children don't see that. Children look to their mothers and fathers to provide, don't they? Well, when you start growing up, you start to become independent, you start to realize when you go out to work and you start to earn a living, that you've got a life that you start to build and everything. Well, take that over to the spiritual. We start to take these promises that God has given to us. We start to believe them. And what do? They start to cause us to grow up. And we see in them, hang on, that's for me. God's promised that for me. And then we start praying about it. We start releasing faith on it. And we start expecting to see it. They are signs of maturity, growing up, and becoming sons and daughters of God. It's quite simple. What does Romans 8:17 tell us? We know this very well, don't we? We quote Romans 8 a lot. And for the very reason, because look what it says here in Romans 8 and verse 17. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That chapter is about sonship. Growing up in the Spirit. That is what the Spirit is searching for now in the house of God. That is the cry of the Holy Spirit, the burden of the Spirit. I want sons, heirs. We know sonship, we've read it in Galatians. We've read the principle that the apostle used under the Roman law. A Roman officer or whatever could adopt a son. And he would train him to take on the household when he grew up. Why? Because it's about inheritance. It's about passing inheritance blessings on. And Jesus, who is blessed from the Father, is passing his inheritance on to the church, to the overcomers. So that we can inherit and be partakers with him. Can you not see this, brothers and sisters? The devil's out to rob us. He hates this. What does Galatians tell us? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7. Yes, we're talking about God is my portion. Galatians 4 and verse 7. Therefore you are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Stop being slaves to the enemy. That's what sin and unbelief makes us. It tries to make us a slave, hold us in bondage and guilt. Let go, yield to the Spirit, stop fighting him. Let him deal with those areas in your life. If you've got pride, let him deal with it, because it's keeping you as a slave. And gosh, when you get delivered, what? It's like a burden off your back. You know, when you get delivered from sin, you think to yourself, why ever did I hold on to that? Why ever did I believe the devil's lie? They're just some of the blessings and joys of getting deliverance. And that's what he's doing with us. For the purpose that you can enter in and know that God is my portion. He's given you an inheritance. I said, didn't I, the other week in a teaching, God's given us his account. He's given us his account number. We've got all the details. All we've got to do is just draw from it. Same principle. What does Hebrews tell us? The book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. And in these last days spoke to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the worlds. So he's now speaking to us in these last days through his Son. And Jesus said, I will come back to you. I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He is speaking to us now. Yes, he just uses vessels because he set the ministry in the church, but he has come now to speak to us. I mean, their minds would have boggled had that been given and told them under the Old Testament, the saints, that God will speak direct through the Holy Spirit. they would just be aghast. Impossible. God doesn't work that way. Well, he does. That's what he's doing now. And the saints saw all of that afar off. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here we are under better promises, a greater revelation, 66 books that we hold in our hands, we can read, and it's all about our inheritance, our portion. Oh, isn't it sad that we just have a handful today in this room listening to this word, because the devil robs them. And it's not about me or my ministry. It's about what we're talking about. It's what God is revealing. It just shows how very few have insight to all of this. Know that God is my portion. Oh, they can recite the scriptures, but it doesn't become their experience. And there's the difference. There's a lot of our brothers and sisters, they've got a head full of theology and promises that they can all quote and memorize. And I'm all for that, yes. But what I'm really for is, are you entering in and possessing these promises? This is the spiritual land. This is the promised land, spiritually to us. That's the point. That's the point. And this is why we go through trial and in testing, in which to inherit these promises, to make them our experience. It's your trials that do that. Isn't it amazing that God does that? That's why we stay with it. Yes, you may be hurting. God may be chastising you at the moment. You may be going through a trial, whatever it is. But all of that is designed for you to experience your portion, your inheritance. That's why it says all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. That is what it's for. So that God is my portion. So as I wrap this up, this idea of God is my portion, it fundamentally means, it means he is love. So he gives me his love. Gosh, that would be enough in itself. It means all that is good, all that is righteous, all that is holy is my portion in God. That's what he's given me. That's the standard he's working in me to walk by in this life. This is our inheritance. things in this life. This life may fail. Things are failing. We're seeing it. We're seeing great cracks now appearing in this life. But he is the strength of my life, my portion forever. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how expensive life becomes. Food will come, bills will come. They're all going up and will go up. God is the portion of my life forever. Take your eyes off it. Stop listening to what the news has to say about it and all that doom and gloom and lies. You see, when he is our portion, we lack nothing. We lack nothing when he is our portion. For his love and his grace is ministered to us and it never runs out. Never runs out. Always there. Always sufficient for everything. Now, as I close, we need to obviously be on our guard, because the Bible also tells us portions can vary. We already have shown you that with the 12, that the tribes of Israel, they had different portions allotted to them with regard to their size, their needs, and so on. But these portions can vary. The same, it's interesting that we read, it comes to mind, you know, the story of Elijah and Elisha. Well, Elisha followed Elijah. Elijah kept trying to put him off, but he wasn't. He was determined to follow him. So he said, well, stay with me, because he knew he was going to be raptured, caught away. And as he was caught away, his mantle fell upon Elisha. What was Elisha experiencing? The portion and a double portion from Elijah. In other words, he wanted his inheritance. He had seen the promises of God and he was tenacious. He wasn't going to give up. And guess what? He got it. And we see a type of greater works. He went forth and began to minister under this mantle, a double portion, and greater miracles were wrought even through Elisha. Again, these are all types that we can glean. But remember this, the Bible also shows that a portion could be cursed. God has set a portion, an inheritance for the wicked. It's called hell. And no one wants to go there. You can also receive a portion with the unbelievers. And that is why God got you out of your church, got you out of your denomination, because there was so much unbelief. There were unbelievers there. And God said, you will never become a son in that environment. That isn't the portion for you. I am your portion, God says. And that is why he separates us, sanctifies us, and sets us apart unto himself. Hallelujah. God is my portion. Brothers and sisters, do not let the enemy rob you anymore. Enough. Believe. Enter in. God has got it there for the overcomers. Freely you receive, freely give. That's what he says. And you'll give so much and in abundance that you'll be able to give out in this life as well. You can give out these blessings, give out this manna, this word. It's abundant because God is my portion. Heavenly Father, may this become our experience and everyone who hears this. May it not just be words, but an entering in to this promised land that you have given from the foundation of the world. It is a good land and a land to be possessed. And you've given us that authority in which to take it back from the enemy. Father, I thank you for this word, and I pray it glorifies your name and it goes to the four corners of the earth. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Disaster. Let him in constancy fall.